Today, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to discuss the Avoida of Purim. What is it that we are meant to take out of Purim? Haman? Sometimes, as a person gets older and maybe more mature, it seems like Purim belongs to the kids, Purim belongs to the youngsters. They're the ones jumping and dancing and seeming to be having a lot of fun. And sometimes you hear from older people that they just can't wait for the day to pass, hopefully without any incident, and you move on. So the emes is that Purim, Avada, it belongs to children as well. But just as much as it belongs to the children, it belongs to adults, it belongs to everyone. Each and every one of us has something that we can take out of Purim, and it's quite significant, as we will explain. We will start with a Gemara in Masechtas Megillah, where the Gemara asks the question, why is it that we don't say Halal on Purim? L'chayre, the Nes, Haman made a gezeira, lahashmid, lahareg, ula'abed, and Achashverosh was in on it. And if not for the gewaltige Nes that happened through the intervention of Mordechai Tzadik and Esther Amalka, who knows what would have happened. So Avada, it should follow that we should say Halal, just like we say Halal on Pesach, just like we say Halal on Chanukah, for the Nisim that happened. Why don't we say Halal on Purim? Azifreg the Gemara. So the Gemara gives a few answers. One answer that the Gemara gives is that when we say Halal, what do we say? Haleluka, Halalu Avdei Hashem. We're thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam that now we're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Akati, says the Gemara, Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Which means that when it came Pesach, we were on the paroi, we weren't allowed, we weren't able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We came out of Mitzrayim, and we went Mishibud L'Geula, Me'afeila L'Oir Godol, and so on. And now we are Avdei Hashem, we're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we want and the way we should. When it comes to the Nes of Chanukah, the Rambam says, B'mei Ba'isheini, the Goyim were Poishet Yodom, they tried to control us, they stopped the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't allow us to do the Avodah, and with Grois Rachmim V'chasodim, the Chashmenoim were able to overcome the Yevonim against all odds, and now they restored the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, as we say in the Nusach of Bimei Matisyo. So Avada, we're thanking Hashem, Haleluka, Halalu Avdei Hashem. But by Achashverosh, Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan, which means that life in Shushan wasn't that great. Life under Achashverosh was terrible. We find in the very end of the Megillah, at the very end, after the whole story, after the dust was settled, so to speak, the Pasuk says, Vayosem HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al HaOretz V'Iyei Hayam. The word Achashverosh is written without a vav. The ksiv is Achashrosh. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? It comes to tell us that Nasu Roshim, he sent everyone in the poorhouse after all his partying and after all the expenditures that he had, you know, that we learn about in the Megillah, he had to refill his coffers. So who had to pay for it? The people had to pay for it. And it was a terrible time. And Achashverosh, the Gemara says, he was a melech hafachfachon, he was a king, a tyrant. In one second, he was what we would call schizophrenic, bipolar. Ein to gazoi. It was very unpredictable to be and live under Achashverosh. So therefore, says the Gemara, we can't say Halleluka, Hallelu, Avdei Hashem, because unfortunately, Akati Avdei Achashverosh ana. Azoi zog the Gemara. So the question is, if that's the case, why taka are we celebrating Purim? If l'chayre, the matzah was so bad, and as we see in Chazal and so on, what is the reason to celebrate? Why are we celebrating Purim? So I think there's a very starker yesoid in this inyan and a message which is relevant to each and every one of us. We know that the derech klal, you know, people go through different things in life. That's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. It's not an easy world. And we find in the Svarim HaKadoshim that just like Klal Yisrael in the Midbar went through the Membeis Masois, every person has their own Membeis Masois. And as Rashi says, Kan Hikarnu, Kan Shananu. In other words, people go through different things in life. Now, when a person is waiting for a Yeshua, so they want to have what we would call a Yeshua Klolis, that, you know, all their problems should be sorted and life should be good, life should be Geschmack. Now, what happens if a person sees a Yeshua, but it's only a partial Yeshua, which means only certain aspects of his problems are sorted, only Gewissen Akudas, but he still has, as we would say, in the bigger scheme of things, in the bigger picture, he still has many details that are not sorted out. Is that reason to celebrate or not? So a person would say, how can I celebrate? I still have this problem and that problem, and my life is not yet sorted out. But the Ness of Purim and the whole celebration of Purim teaches us that even if things are still, there are still many problems, and there are still things that needed to be sorted out, if you see a Yeshua protest, if you see something, even a detail, a certain aspect, that is enough reason to celebrate. And that is why Dafke, in the Matzev, and in the background of Akati Achashverosh Hanan, Avdei Achashverosh Hanan, we are making a Yontev, and it's a Yontev in Golus. It's the only Yontev that we make for a Nes that happened in Golus. It happened in Chutz Loretz. That is the reason. That is the message. The message is, who is to say that you have to wait until everything is sorted in order to make a celebration, in order to thank Hashem, in order to show appreciation to Hashem for the good that He gives us? No, as soon as you see something, right away you have to thank Hashem. That is our avodah. Now, we find this by Eliezer Eved Avrohom in Parshas Chayesara, where the Torah tells us about Avraham Avinu sending Eliezer to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. Now, to us, this would be a bechina of finding a needle in a haystack. Where, what, when, he doesn't know, he has no clue. Avada, he knows that he can't go to Benoi Saknani, but in Choron, we can assume there were thousands and thousands of girls, and here he has to go and find this one that's going to be the one for Yitzchak. So he goes and he trusts in Hashem, and he starts talking to Hashem, and he starts saying he's making a deal, that the girl that's going to Bahoisa Alma, that's going to come and give me to drink and to the camels and so on, Oisa Chachta. All of a sudden, he sees a little girl, a three-year-old, according to many shittas. She's there and she's running around, and yes, she's offering water. And what does it say in the pasuk? Vayishtachu Hashem. He bows down and he thanks the Ribbono Shel Olam. What are you thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam? There could be so many obstacles still in the way until we hear that yes, right? Maybe she's already engaged. Maybe she's already, you know, not available. Maybe her parents will say b'shumoifen. Maybe her parents will dafka want her to live in Charan. There's so many maybes and ifs that what are you thanking Hashem for? So Rashi says he started seeing that, you know, maybe things are starting a bit to fall into place. Right away he thanks Hashem. He still has a way to go, and then he thanked Hashem again. But this is what he learned in Beis Avraham Avinu, that a Yid thanks Hashem for every little detail, regardless of what the bigger picture is. Regardless of the big scheme of things, if you see a Yeshua, you see something, you thank Hashem. That is the middah of a Yid, and that is the avoid of a Yid. And that is what Purim teaches us. Purim teaches us that even in a matzav of golus, which means that you still have many tzoras and many problems, but anytime you see a Yeshua, even if it's on a detail, and again, we're not minimizing the fact of being saved from being annihilated, but nevertheless, you know, someone once said a very interesting thought. They said, what was easier, to die under Achashverosh or to live under Achashverosh? Right? In a certain way, dying under Achashverosh, so you don't have any more problems. Living under Achashverosh was much harder and much more challenging. But nevertheless, everyone wants to live. And therefore, if the Rebbein Shlodim gave us that Yeshua, gave us that Nes, we're thanking Hashem for that little detail or for that detail, even though we may still have many, many things on our list that we haven't yet ticked off. Now, we have a fascinating thing. We find in the Mefarshim that Haman's demise, Haman's downfall, was mamish because of this nekuda. What do we find? There's the famous Gemara in Masechtas Chulin, where the Gemara says, "Hama min atorim minayin, hamina eitz hazeh asher tzivisicha levilta achol mimenu acholto." That is the remez of Hama. So the Bala Musar asked the Chayyur Achada, okay, the word, you have the word hey mem nun, you have it in many other places, in Parshas B'Shalach with the mon, and in Parshas Valois, you also have the words hey mem nun. You know, it's a vertel, Megman der Zugen, Sifar Pirim, that it says in Chazal that the tzaddikim, where did they get the mon? They got it by the door. Where did the Rishoyim get it? They had to go to the end of the Machna. And some say that even in the Midbar, how were they Mekayim, the Inyan of Chesed, right? Today, you have people that have less, more. So the people that have more can help the people that have less. But in the Midbar, everyone had, you know, whatever, the Asir, the Omer, Asir Saifahu, and that was the shir everyone had. So you woke up in the morning, all your needs were fulfilled. How was it shaykh to do chesed in the Midbar? So they say that the oifen was that someone that knew that his friend got it all the way at the end of the machne would wake up early and go and bring it closer. This way no one has to know that, the level of tzidkus, what averus he did last night. Because it could have changed, right? If someone did tshuva, all of a sudden it started coming closer. If someone did an avera in Ra'isa Adam Sha'avra Avera Balayla, all of a sudden, if you didn't do tshuva in the morning, the man was all the way out. So where did Esther get her man? V'homan noifel al hamito. It came mamish onto her bed, right? Hey memnun. So the word homan you can find in different places. So what is the remez? Homan men atorim minayin hamino eight. What's the hamino eight? So there's the famous the word from the Balei Musar that be'etzem. What was Homan's downfall? What was the reason why he had a downfall? Because he went after Mordechai Tzadik. Why did he go after Mordechai Tzadik? Because he said, V'cholze einenu shoyveli. What's V'cholze einenu shoyveli? The guy is mamash meshugane, right? He didn't speak to a therapist beforehand, because anyone would tell him, think about it. You have everything going for you. You have Ein Yid, a hunchback, that he doesn't want to bow down to you. And he was potter. In other words, by law, even though he was a chok, but Mordechai Tzadik had an exempt because the Gemara says that he was Haman sort of was an eved to Mordechai and he didn't have to bow down to him. So any normal person would give advice to such a person: ignore him. Don't look at that. Don't look that way. Don't look at that side. Just go on, move on with life. You have everything besides this one Yid. What was Haman's attitude? It's worthless. And he went after Motcha and after Am Mordechai, and that was his downfall. What happened to other Marishan? The same thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam put him into a garden. This garden had hundreds and hundreds of trees. It had all kinds of trees. There was a variety. Now, we can understand if after 100 years of living in the Gan Eden and already eating from every tree, and there's one tree that he didn't have yet. Okay, so now he can't hold himself back from tasting, that last tree. But how long was he in Gan Eden?
A day.
Hours. It was within hours that he was thrown out of Gan Eden. So in a few hours, you already got sick of the whole Gan, of the whole garden. You have so many trees there. There's one tree, the Eitz Hadas, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, no, this is something you can't have. This is the same thing. Haman min ha-Torah min ha-Ayin, ha-min ha-Eitz. Because it's the same Yesoid. And this, Rabbi says, mamash the hepech of what we're saying. We're trying to bring out in a Kuda that a Yid has to look at the good and appreciate everything that Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives us, even if there are still things going on around and around which are not yet ay-ay-ay. Focus on the good. Focus on the positive. And that is the message of Purim. And that is why Haman had a downfall. And that is our success. And this is something that's our avodah. With this yesoid, perhaps we can understand something very bizarre, which the older we get, the more we understand how bizarre it is. The kids, for them, this is their thing. There's a din, it's a gemara, chayv inish levasumi beperia, abdelo yoda, and some people take it, b'mloy muven amila, and many people are not mekayim the din, because the way, laying on the floor in vomit, that is not what Chazal had in mind. This is not the tzura of the mitzvah. There's the famous Rama who says, no, don't take it so seriously, drink a bit more than usual, and go to sleep. And that's how you're going to be Mekayim. Where is the Ramaz Makar? The Ramaz Makar is a Gemara. The Gemara says this famous story with Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira that they decided to make a Purim Suda together and they drank a cup too much and come Rabbi v'shochtel Rabbi Zeira. There's a very interesting Chasam Sofer where the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara Masechet Chulin has a Shaila, if someone shechts an animal with a Saken Melubenes, which means a very hot knife. It was mamash heated up very high at the same temperature as when you kasher. So we're talking about 500 degrees. And you shecht an animal. Is the animal kosher or not? What's the shayla? The shayla is, does it burn it before it cuts it, right? What happens first? The chitucha or the sreifa? The libun. So Reb Zeira says that it's kosher because it cuts it before it burns it. Says the Chasam Sofer, how did Rav Zeira know? Because Rava must have used the Sakem Ulubenes and he felt that the cutting happened before the burning. Azazak the Chasam Sofer. But again, we see that story. So the Gemara says that a Nes happened and Rav Zeira had Chia Samesim. The next year, they want it again. He says, no. Lav v'chol shona misracha shnisa. We're not relying on an S. You want to drink, guy is into height, but I'm having my own Suda. So the Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim, he comes out with a halacha. He says that, why does the Gemara bring this story? Right after, the Gemara says, Chai v'nish av sumi b'piriyah adela yoda, and then the Gemara brings the story. So usually we have stories in the Gemara. There's Agadata, but this the Rabbeinu Ephraim learned that this story is a halacha. The Gemara is trying to tell us not to take it in the literal sense, because if you take it in the literal sense, things may happen, and Avada, we are not in the Madrega to rely on any type of Ness, not even, much less than Tchias HaMesim. You drive, you have to drive carefully, and so on and so forth. So the Rama based his Halacha on that. So the question is, why Taka? Why taka is there such a mitzvah? So all the mefarshim, all the noisa kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, each one gives a different svara. But we still need to understand, what is this bizarre minig halacha of drinking? The teretz is very simple, because what are we trying to explain here? We're trying to explain that the avodah of Purim is, in galus, in a matzav of tzoros, in a matzav when things are not going the way we would like them to go. And we're trying to focus on the good, And for that, we thank Hashem, and for that we celebrate. Sometimes we need some help. We need a boost. And that's why, by drinking, what does drinking do? It helps a person forget from his sorrows. So, oivazoi, that is the whole point, that on Purim, a person needs to be able to put aside all his sorrows and all his problems and focus on the good that he has in his life. And if you need a boost, gesundheit, take a drink, take two drinks, drink as much as you need to be able to, you know, to get on a shtickle high, and then you'll be able to do this inyan of the avoida. This is the avoida of Purim, and this is the holy yisoid. Now, where else do we find such an akuda about basically a yid being the opposite of all or none? All right, Haman was either all or none, and that's what his demise. And what we're trying to explain here is as punkt verkehrt. Purim teaches us that it's not all or none. A person has to be able to focus and zoom in on the good in his life and take it from there and thank Hashem. We find a fascinating nekuda by Shlomo HaMelech with David HaMelech. In Sefer Melachim, the pasuk tells us that David HaMelech, before he passed away, he gave instructions to Shlomo of all the accounts that he hasn't settled yet in his lifetime, and he dafka didn't want to settle those accounts for the different reasons, as the Bala Musar explained. And one of the people that he had to settle an account with was Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera, he kilalani klolan imretzes when he was on running away from Avshalom, and he cursed him, and it was a terrible matzav. Now, b'shas masa, we find that David HaMelech didn't say anything, and the Sefer HaChinuch, by the mitzvah of Lois Sikoim, he uses this as an example. Why is there an issa to take nekama? Why aren't you allowed to take revenge? Because why are you taking revenge? Because that person hurt me. That person did something against me. He didn't do anything. It's the Ribbono Shloimeh that did. And what are you taking revenge? That's how he learns pshat. And this is, we learn out from David HaMelech's reaction to Shimi. But at the same time, David is the king. Morid b'malchus is chayav misa. David didn't want to do it himself. So he gave Shloimeh instructions, make sure that he doesn't die in his bed. Make sure that he doesn't die a natural death. So Shlomo HaMelech had a conundrum, because on the one hand he had his father's tzavo, on the other hand Shimi was his rebbe. Shimi ben Gera taught Torah to Shlomo. So what did Shlomo HaMelech do? He told him, listen, you have a problem and you should know that, you know, you're in big trouble. However, I'm confining you to Yerushalayim. As long as you stay in Yerushalayim, you're going to live. But the minute you step out of Yerushalayim, you're dead. And it didn't take long, and he left. He went out of Yerushalayim, and he was killed. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks a gewaldige kasha. He says, if you take a person and you confine him in Yerushalayim, so let's say today, Avada, who would have a problem? Avada, you know, people like to go around and around, but it's not such a bad prison to stay in Yerushalayim for the rest of one's life. So how did Shlomo HaMelech know that Shimi is going to break that deal? In other words, he had instructions from his father, and he had to carry them out. So Avada, he was trying to find a way, but how did he know that this would happen? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says that this is human nature. You tell a person you can't go to Yerushalayim, he'll dafka want to go to Yerushalayim, and he'll do anything and everything to go to Yerushalayim. Tell a person that you're confined to stay within the walls of Yerushalayim, he'll do anything and everything to leave. That is the psyche of a person. But that again, that is the same type of mahalach, that, you know, it's either all or none, and that was his downfall. And a yid has to be able to focus and understand that no, we can compartmentalize and we can, you know, break things down and put everything where they belong, and in that way, we'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Unfortunately, this inyan of, you know, people going through different things is, you know, all year round. You know, how does one cope? What would be a way of how a person can try to sort of climb out and crawl out of his rut? So, not so long ago, someone came to me with mamash this question, with this dilemma, that they feel that their life is upside down, nothing is working out, And, you know, they're in a very bad matzav. They're very down and they're in a very all-time low. What should they do? So I gave them advice. It's not my advice, but it's based on this whole nekuda. I told them, get yourself a little notepad and find, I said one, but a person can find more than one, but someone that is coming from so low, find one good positive thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you each day. And they said, oh yeah, we can find, yeah, I crossed the street and I made it alive. I said, fine, if that's how you feel, that's the most that you got from the Ribbono Shel Olam, so be it. But the mere fact that you're trying, you're putting pen to paper and you're focusing and you're thinking, yes, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, helped me cross the street safely, fine. But you'll see that this in itself, besides the fact that it will start bringing out all the good nekudas that a person does have in his life, but this will help you with our nekuda as we were talking about the Avodah of Purim. Everyone knows and has heard here or there the Shiurim of Reb Avigdor Miller. Reb Avigdor Miller Zatzal was famous for his Shara Bechina, which is, he basically went through the Choyves Halvovos. The Choyves Halvovos is trying to inspire people to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how does he do it? He goes through the human body. It's a lesson, many lessons in biology. And he goes through each and every aspect, the hair, the teeth, the lips, everything that a person has, besides the mafli lasois, which we all say, not, we don't always think about it. But the human body is so complex and so amazing that if you think about it and you break it down, it's amazing. I know someone who, when he lived in Toronto, he became a Baal Tshuva at 65. He was a doctor, and he said that this is what, you know, over the years, he's seen so many things, being a doctor, that is what inspired him to become a Baal Tshuva. Now, Avada, not every doctor is a Baal Tshuva, and not every Baal Tshuva is a doctor. But the point is that if you want to look, if you want to see, if you want to open your eyes, there's so much that you can see from science. There's a book someone gave me about an eye doctor, who mamash, he became a Baal Tshuva only because of what he knew from the eye, which is so amazing how the Ribbono Shel Olam created. And even today, with all the sophisticated things that we have, they wouldn't be able to come up with the mechanism of an eye. And so on and so on. So lemaisa, the nekuda is that a person needs to be able to focus on. So anyway, so Rabbi Avigdor Miller was trying to go through and inspire people through that. Now, Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, there's a famous story that he was Elter Yid, and he had every single tooth of his. He had every single tooth. He didn't have any crowns and so on. And the dentist asked him, he says, I've never seen this. Usually people that age, in their 90s, they don't have their teeth. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my teeth every single day. And he also said, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, he says, imagine if a person would wake up in the morning only with those things that he thanked Hashem for the day before. What would our day look like? We would be constantly thanking Hashem. The problem is that we take things for granted, and that's why that person, the most that he was able to come up with, being in his down mood, is crossing the road. But once a person puts himself into that mode, we will see how many things the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us, and all the chesed, and all the good, and that will help us thank Hashem and compartmentalize and divide the different things, and that, as we explained, is the Avodah of Purim, and that is what Purim teaches us. So yes, with all the things happening, we should try to focus on our own lives, what we have, what the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us, and Be'ezus Hashem will be able to come out much better and much stronger, and will be zoicha to all the brachas of the Torah. Well, cool.
Shabbat Shalom.